Good afternoon. My presentation will focus on SLB management of citrus in Florida sandy soil. As we all know, citrus greening has been a serious threat to citrus production. Florida has a good environment for the survival of vector Asian citrus leet, because of which the disease is spreading rapidly. At present, over 95% of the trees in commercial groves are affected with this disease. Here the graph shows overall production of grapefruit in Indian River District. As you can see, prior to SLB and after SLB. After SLB, the production has been decreasing rapidly. SLB affected trees produces fewer number of fruits, with fruit having inferior juice quality. At present, we don't have a complete cure for this disease yet. Management of this disease requires integrated practices. One of the practices is nutritional treatment, which I'm going to describe now. The idea behind nutritional treatment is SLB affected trees shows deficiency symptoms of some major macronutrients such as magnesium, phosphorus, calcium, and some major micronutrients such as zinc and iron on tree canopy. We need to supply those nutrients. The problem is Florida sandy soil, which has higher leaching potential for water and nutrients. We need to find an efficient way to supply those nutrients to avoid leaching to surface water or groundwater. Also, the SLB-affected trees has poor root architecture, which requires continuous application of small doses of fertilizer. Reports show that control is fertilizer performed very well with sweet orange in terms of production. However, there are limited information available about the performance of control release fertilizer on grapefruit. In addition to this, foliar application of micronutrient is important for perennial fruit crop, especially when the nutrient demand is high, like fruit setting time, and when the soil condition is not good, like sandy soil. Also, the SLB affected trees has fewer fibrous roots, which has difficulty to obtain micronutrient from the soil. And the report shows that spraying of zinc, manganese, and boron on tree can increase the leaf nutrient concentration as well as cycle threshold value. Here, the cycle threshold value is an indication of concentration of bacterial DNA of Candidatus librebacter asiaticus. The higher the CT value, lower will be the concentration of bacterial DNA. Also, the amount is important because if we apply more amount, it could be detrimental to plant as well as to the environment. There are limited information available about the performance of foliar spray on SLB-affected grapefruit. Another important component to overcome this disease is tree spacing. It is very obvious that SLB-affected trees has higher production cost but lower yield. So the question is, what if we decrease the tree spacing in order to get maximum yield over a period? How about the fruit quality? Will it remain same or will it get deteriorated? So in order to answer those questions, we conducted an experiment with three major objectives. Our first objective is to assess the best tree planting spacing under three different spacing. Standard spacing, which is low density single row 4.5 by 7 meter, high density single row, which was 3 by 7 meter, high density double row, which was 2.7 by 1.5 by 1 meter. Our second objective is to compare the soil application of two different control release fertilizer, 16320 and 12-39. 12-39 formulation has higher micronutrient but less potassium on it. We did split application of fertilizer in February, July, and October three times in a year. Our third objective is to compare the four different micronutrients rate, zero being control, 1.5, 3, and 6 times of IFS, University of Florida recommendation. The recommendation for a grapefruit is boron 0.28 kilogram per hectare, zinc 5.6 kilogram per hectare, and manganese 4.2 kilogram per hectare. We did split application of foliar spray in March, May, and September. The experiment was conducted at Indian River Research and Education Center, Fort Pierce. The experiment area was 2.13 hectare. The plant material were Ray Ruby as a sign and Kowarski as a rootstock. The experiment was designed in such a way that each block received soil treatment, which has three different planting densities on it, and each planting density was split into four different plots to receive four different foliar treatments. And the experiment was replicated four times. Altogether, we had 96 experimental units. In order to evaluate our objectives, we took following measurement: soil sampling and nutrient analysis by malic acid extraction method, plant photosynthesis and instrumental conductance using a portable photosynthesis equipment, leaf HLB diagnostic by real-time quantitative polymerase chain reaction, canopy volume by geometric prolate spheroid formula, trunk diameter by using a caliper, leaf nutrient sampling, fruit weight by digital weighing machine, fruit size by an optical sorter, soluble solid content using refractometer, and fruit acidity by using titrator. The data were analyzed using generalized linear mix model, and in order to do mean comparison, 2Ki's mean comparison tests were performed with significance level less than 0.05. In addition to this, we had 48 soil moisture sensors installed in the field to make sure that we are doing uniform application of irrigation. The soil moisture sensors were installed 6 inches below the soil surface, 2 feet away from the main trunk, and connected to a data logger programmed to collect volumetric water content in every 15 minutes. On your right, I have presented the soil moisture sensor reading from one of the sensors. Additionally, we had weather station installed in the field and programmed to collect temperature and rainfall data. I have on your left, you can see the weather station data. Now, the result. We observed that 12-3-9 formulation soil with 12-3-9 formulation were comparatively acidic than 16-3-20 formulation. It could be because the 12-3-9 formulation contained less potassium oxide on it. Also, both fertilizer formulation were in optimum range for nutrient availability for citrus, which is 5.5 to 6.5. Here, x-axis represents the air and y-axis represents the soil nutrient concentration in parts per million. With the application of controlled-release fertilizer, we observed considerable improvement in nutrient status, especially soil copper and soil phosphorus, as you can see in the graph. Here, x-axis represents tree planting densities and y-axis represents fruit yield. On your left, fruit yield, and on your right, soluble solid content. The double row high density planting resulted makes greatest yield, about 170 boxes of grapefruit, each box of being 38.5 kg. Similarly, double row high density planting resulted maximum soluble solid yield. The single row high density planting resulted 47% less than double row high density planting, and single row low density planting resulted 65% less fruit yield than double row high density planting. Similarly, single row high-density planting resulted 50% less yield, less soluble solid yield than double row high-density planting, and single row low-density planting resulted 63% less soluble solid yield than double row high-density planting. It gives a clear message that double row high-density planting has an advantage to produce more yield. Here, the x-axis represents tree planting densities again, and y-axis represents fruit quality. The double row fruit with double row high density planting were more acidic, on an average 11.64% acidic than other treatments. Also, the maximum soluble solid was obtained more with double row high density planting. The deposition of more sugars in double row high density planting and the acidic nature of juice in double row high density planting is due to the competition for water use, probably due to the modification of fruit water content and osmotic adjustment. Here, the x-axis represents three different planting densities, and y-axis represents fruit size. Florida, the standard fruit size is considered as 36 count category and 40 count category. The fruit size remain unaffected by three different planting densities. The minimum canopy volume was obtained with double row high-density planting, and minimum trunk diameter was obtained with double row high-density planting. The double row high density planting resulted 43% less canopy volume than single row low density planting and 14.8% less trunk diameter than rest of the treatments. It is an expected result because double row high density planting results competition for water, solar radiation and nutrition, which results lower tree growth. Here the x-axis represents CT value of Candidatus librebacter asiaticus DNA. In your right, it's 2019, and in your left, 2018. The CT value of Candidatus librebacter DNA remain unaffected in both years due to the different planting densities. Here, x-axis represents four different foliar treatments, and y-axis represents plant response. The zero being control, 1.5, 3, and 6 times of IFS University of Florida recommendation of micronutrients. Plant response to photosynthesis and stomatal conductance remain unaffected by different foliar application of treatments. Here, the x-axis represents four different foliar treatments and y-axis represents plant leaf nutrient concentration in parts per million. With increase in foliar rate, the leaf nutrient concentration increases for boron, all of the reading were in excess level. For zinc, all of the reading were in optimum range. For manganese, with 6 times application of foliar rate, exceeded the optimum range. So our goal is to understand the complex interaction between soil application treatment, foliar application of micronutrient in three different planting densities. So what we observed during first year is that densely planted trees resulted maximum yield without compromising fruit quality. Also, the foliar application of micronutrient can increase the leaf nutrient concentration. I would like to acknowledge my committee members and my lab members for helping and assisting in my research. With this, if you have any questions or suggestions, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yes, please. So we took fully expanded leaf. During August, we took like 4 or 6 month old leaf, and well matured, not damaged leaf.
And how long was this after you had done your last spray?
So we did like 3 times application of foliar nutrients. So the measurement we took after 2 sprays last year. So the data I'm presenting is from 2018. Approximately, I would say 3 months.
Any more questions? Okay,
thank you so much.